It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, who's running the show for us here today. Got a good show lined up for you. I don't know if you watched the World of Outlaws on Saturday night, but Brian Brown picked up the victory. He's going to join us here in a little bit. And I think we might talk to Lee Spencer for a moment or two today as well. Austin, so we sit here on Friday, right, and we were talking about what should you do. Saturday morning it was, yeah, Saturday morning. We talked about what you should do Saturday night. There was 70% chance of rain, and me and you were looking at each other like, that would be silly to go up there with the 70% chance of rain. But as the day went on, that percentage went down, and they ended up getting it in. Were you a little bummed out that you weren't up there, bud? Can you say? Tell me your real thoughts now. Don't powder coat it. Just tell me how you really felt. Were you a little disappointed that you weren't there?
Well, I mean, it always sucks when you make a plan to go and it's a track you don't always get to race at, and it's, you know, the most prestigious sprint car track in the world. Yeah. We decided, you know, Saturday morning not to go, and then I made a post on our Facebook page, you know, about noon that we weren't going to go.
And you got some feedback too, didn't you?
Yeah, John Randall sent me a picture of the skies, and he's like, buddy, it's all clear up here. There's no rain. And I'm like, John, just wait till about 7 o'clock when the storms start rolling in on the weather apps. And
right.
I don't have a fuel sponsor, and to go up there and throw, you know, a couple $100 away in fuel, it just doesn't make sense. And, you know, I was sitting, you know, watching the stream at 7 o'clock, and the rain that was coming towards the track, you know, faded out and split and missed Knoxville. And I'm like, well, he was right. But, no, I mean, we had some storms down here in town, and I'm kind of glad that we ended up staying at, you know, if something would have happened, you know, at the house or the shop, I wouldn't have been good, because we wouldn't have been back to take care of it.
Yeah, no doubt. Some pretty tornadic weather. I know that your house, where you were located and where I was located, they had me a little nervous the other night. Didn't they have you? I mean, they said that they had this hook, and they all thought that the tornado, they never saw a tornado, but they kept talking about how it could be a tornado. And it was coming right towards your house and my house. Were you a little nervous about that?
Yeah, so the first storm that was, you know, north of my location, it was on a straight path and track straight south. And it went through the town just north of me and dropped 4 inches of rain. And they had, you know, plenty of radar evidence that there was a tornado. And I'm like, well, I better go take care of the stuff down there in the shop. And I got all my cars put away and my trailer all locked up. And luckily, the time it got to my house, it, you know,
it
dissipated
out,
and it was gone. And, you know, I didn't get 4 inches of rain because my property can't take that. I would have had to spend all day Sunday fishing water out of the shop. But now we got about an inch of rain and, you know, barely missed out on some big, you know, big storms.
Yeah, well, it was a little eerie.
It was odd.
When you went outside, it was so humid.
And there was no wind, too.
And there was no wind. That was a little disturbing for me. I don't know about you, but it was for me. What'd you feel like when you went outside? Hey, and the lightning storm?
That was pretty good.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like I was in the scene from Twister.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible. The lightning storm was just unbelievable. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about what happened this weekend. All-Star Circuit of Champion winner last night, Zeb Weiss. What'd you think about that win there? That's a popular win. It's his second win of the season. What'd you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime, I believe, let me pull up the schedule here.
He's won twice in the last 10 days.
Yeah, so he went... Yeah, he won at Attica last week. But no, right. I mean, he went 30 for 30 last night, led all 30 laps of the feature and, you know, and got a win during Speed Week. And, you know, Fremont's a hard place to kind of get a hold of. It's It's super flat. It doesn't like water from the videos I've seen. If it likes water, it's from a huge rainstorm. And it's kind of a hard place to get a hold of. And, you know, if you can get qualified in good and get locked in the dash, you're going to be set up good for the rest of the night. And,
yeah.
You know, Zeb's been there, you know, last year and maybe the year before, and he has, you know, some laps there, and they were able to get a hold of it and get a win picked up during Speed Week. And anytime you can get Speed Week started off, you know, with some momentum, it definitely has your confidence up, because Speed Week, I mean, it's a long week of racing, and if one, you've got a couple bad nights going, it's right. Just, it makes the week even longer.
Yeah. You know, he led that race. Did you ever feel like there was any chance that anybody was going to catch him? Because it seemed like he was smoking the field pretty good. What'd you think about that? I thought he was pretty much on top of his game that night, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get, you know, Zeb Wise and Wayne Pretty out there in the front, they're going to be hard to beat. And Zeb's not afraid to stand on the gas. I mean, he doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. And he's really good at conserving and getting the laps done and you know,
taking care of his tires.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's just, you know, he's a smart racer, and that's what it takes to win races like that.
Well, he's got a pretty good crew chief, Wayne Pretty. He's a good friend of mine, and we're going to try to get Zeb on at some point during the week this week. But, boy, there was at one point where Matt Jewell, Corey Lyson, and Peck, and I can't think of the driver who drives the four car, they were putting on a hell of a show.
Cap Henry.
Yeah. That those four were really racing each other pretty hard there at one point. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, you get Cap out there. Cap's from Ohio. Kyle Reinhart's from, like, Maryland, I believe. And, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, have laps in that region and at that track. And it's, I mean, they're top contenders that you gotta battle every night.
Right. That was Zeb's fourth win with the All-Stars, his second this year, again, that you mentioned, that he won at Attica Raceway Park on June 3rd. So how about that? Two wins, 10 days. They got to feel pretty good about their chances. You know, he's been showing a lot of speed with that car. I don't know if you know about Wayne Pretty. Do you know much about Wayne?
I don't.
Wayne was he was the ASCS Crew Chief of the Year. He helped Jason Johnson win a championship one year, and he was the Crew Chief of the Year. With the ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. He was also Tony Bruce Jr.'s crew chief when Tony Bruce Jr. won the back-to-back short track nationals. So Wayne's got a lot of experience, and he brings a lot to the table, and I'm sure that Wise Pretty connection has worked out pretty good for him. I'm pretty happy for him. We got a few more races coming up, though, here, don't we?
Yeah, kind of going back to Zeb Wise. I'll never forget the night at the State Fair last year when he jumped a cushion coming off a two and landed down in the ditch off the backstretch.
Where was that at?
State Fair.
Oh.
For the All-Star Show. And
Cleared the guardrail?
Cleared the guardrail, and then he cleared the access road, so you'd exit off the track into one, and fall on an access road down to the backstretch where all the cars were all the cars and trailers were pitted.
Right.
And he cleared that road, and behind that was probably a 15-foot creek/ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lengthy red flag to come, you know, dig out Zeb's cars. But, yeah, I'll never forget that night he cleared the fence at the State Fair.
Well, he's come a long way in his career. He's currently sixth in the All-Star Circuit of Champions driver points right now. So we'll have to see how that works out for him this year. He's showing a little bit more speed. Tyler Courtney is the current point leader right now. With the All-Stars, Justin Peck is second, Parker Price Miller is third, Cap Henry is fourth, and Hunter Schoenberg is fifth, and Zeb Wise sixth, Bill Balog seventh, Corey Eliason eighth, Chris Windham ninth, Kyle Reinhart is 10th in the top 10 in the All-Star Circuit of Champions points at this point right now. Do you think Tyler Courtney is going to win the championship again? What's your pulse on that?
I think if he stays, I mean, he's kind of gotten into a dry spell here on winning races. And but, you know, like, where'd he end up Saturday night or last night?
Shoot.
He ended up fifth.
Fifth.
I mean, if you're consistent, you know, and finishing the top five, top ten on your bad nights,
right?
You're just going to point your way in. Look at Brad Sleet with the Outlaws. Brad's, you know, top three right now. I don't think he's leading it anymore. I think Gravel might be leading it. But, I mean, look, Brad's won one race this year. He's been a consistent car in the top five all year long. It's top 10 on his bad nights. And he's, you know, contending for another championship. And,
right.
You know, you would think just on his performance he wouldn't be. But it just shows how much consistency plays into your championship.
I think I heard this the other day with the World of Outlaws, that Brad Sweet averaged about a 5.2, I think it was, or it was right around fifth place, his average for the year. And that's how you win championships. You got to be up there in that top five just about every night, don't you?
Yeah, and I just pulled up the points for the Outlaws, and Brad Sweet's leading David Gravel by 64 points, and about 2 points behind Gravel is Carson Macedo.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brad's had 26 starts, 16 top fives, 23 top tens, and one win.
Consistency.
It is, and yeah. David Gravel has 2 wins, 13 top fives, and 22 top tens. So, yeah, it just shows that, I mean, look at Carson Macedo in third, 5 wins, 13 top fives, and 19 top tens. So, yeah, just being consistent with the Outlaws and, I mean, any series in general, I mean, it's going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah, consistency is everything, and we'll just have to see how it works out this year. Did you watch Husitz last night by chance?
I did not. I forgot Husitz was racing. I tuned in late. I was looking at my race pass on what was going on, and I figured that they would have an off weekend before the big, you know, High Banks race that they have coming up this weekend that pays $100,000 a win, and I don't know why I would have thought that. And I turned on my race pass, and I seen that they had a 20-car field, and Brooke Tatnall went back to victory lane. So
yeah.
I'll have to definitely go back home. When I'm in the shop tonight, I'll turn my TV on and catch Husitz.
Yeah, Brooke was pretty dominant in that race. You know, I always pull for a 16 car. It was nice to see the 16 in victory lane. Riley Goodnow was second. Caleb Johnson was third. Ryan Timms fourth. And Brandon Mullen was fifth. Ryan Timms, a top five finish up there after picking up the Power Eye 410 win down at Lake Ozark Speedway the night before that. You got Jimmy Jones working hard, man. They're working the old dude hard.
Working the old dude hard, but paying him well.
Well, I don't know what he's getting paid. Do you know what he gets paid?
He's not getting scrapped, I'm telling you that.
Well, I'm just saying. He's Jimmy. You know, Jimmy doesn't – he's not so hands-on. I think he tunes the motor for him. But I think Jimmy is more there for advice and telling him how to drive, what they need to do, telling the crew members what they need to do to the car. Jimmy Jones is very good at setups. I just say it. Jimmy Jones, on the maintenance side of things, he lets everybody else do that, right? Take care of the maintenance and do all that stuff. He's not going to get involved with that. But Jimmy is very good at telling drivers what they need to do, how they need to drive, and very good at setups over his years of crew chief and for so many guys like, you know, Mark Kinzer. Did you know that he was Mark Kinzer?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, that was some pretty good stuff there back in the day. All you got to do is say something about Kinzer, and Jimmy Jones will tell you a bunch of stories about him. Jimmy Jones is about one of the best storytellers I've ever heard.
We need to get him on one day.
I'll get him on. He'll come on the show one day with us for sure.
We need to learn more about Jimmy.
I know plenty about Jimmy.
Well, I don't. I bet other people out there don't either. So,
there's a Jimmy Jones, pretty popular person in the sprint car world, and again, he's a good guy. What'd you think about the races down there at Lake Ozark Speedway? So there was a little. There's a little bit of a storyline going on down there. They burn up a lot of tires, didn't they? So, and I can't remember the guy's name that got into it with Robert Ballou. Can somebody help me out with that one? Somebody got into Robert Ballou, spun him out. Now, Robert did kind of bang wheels with him down in 3 and 4. In the next corner, Robert looked like he was spinning out, and the so-called driver went in there and just dumped him. Which, you know what? If you're pissed off about somebody wheeling you down in the corner before, I get it, right? So, anyway, Swanson.
Yes, Jake.
Jake Swanson is who it was.
You want to see a picture of Jake Swanson's right rear tire?
Is that it right
there?
That's
it.
Wow. You know,
he wasn't the only one.
He mentioned something about how Hoosier cost him a World of Outlaw win once, and that they got to get this tire situation worked out. Do you think the tire problem that we're having, Austin, and you're more in tune with these tires that you guys run on these sprint cars more than I am, do you think they're just not old enough or cured enough, and they're just blowing off the tread off of these tires? You think that's the case?
Yeah, I think so.
You think
so.
They're getting them out a little bit too soon?
Yeah, I mean, so you look at, I seen three posts on Facebook from teams and then All-Wing class at the lake having issues with tires. You go to Knoxville, in the 360 class, there was four tires. Two got blown, two or three blew, and then I know Jamie Ball had another tire come apart on him again.
Right.
Just like Swanson's tire. And it just goes back to Hoosier. I mean, it's all Hoosier's fault, really. And what's going on is tires are being, you know, mass-produced. We can't get enough of them. The ones that they're making are immediately being put on a trailer.
They're not curing enough,
yeah,
right?
They're going right to a team, and boom.
Right.
They're going to sit in a distributor's trailer for a week, if that, and then boom, right on a car and racing that night. So they're probably out of the press and the mold to a car on the track in probably a week, 2 weeks. Before they would sit on the shelf for a couple months, half a year, just depends on what they got.
Do we know how long they should cure before they get put on a car?
I think a couple months is what I was told, but I'm not exactly sure on that. And, I mean, I got three brand-new tires that I bought here recently in the last 2 weeks that were made a couple weeks ago. That's the purest black you'll ever see. Normally when you get a tire, it's a little faded and the color black. And,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
this is pure black. And it just, if you grab it, it's just like a soft, like, fresh material. I mean, it just feels really, really raw. And, you know, tires are so soft, not curing out, and I mean, that's why you're having just tires just peel apart. So, I mean, there's probably a way to fix it for teams. I mean, you buy tires in advance and set them outside in the sun and let them, you know, bake and harden up, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing I can tell you to do. I mean, I'm going to try and do something to make mine last as long as I can, but I mean, we got to figure it out at some point.
Yeah. Dave Tyson said the cure time isn't happening on the tires. Cure time is 2 months from what he's been told. So, well, and that's kind of what you were just saying.
Right.
Same kind of thing. So, what do we got to do? What? Here's the thing. If I spend $300 on a tire, and that's probably about the average price, right? About
$300? $315 for a right rear, $400 for a left rear.
I spend that kind of money and I throw the tread off of the tire, I'm not going to be all too happy about it.
Especially, like, I'll use Jamie Ball as an example. Jamie Ball was leading at Knoxville last Saturday in 360 class and had a commanding lead on him. Probably was going to come and get a win and had to pull off because his tire just, I mean, it just fell apart on him. And it happened the week before. And, I mean, that's 2 weeks Jamie was taken out of contention from winning at Knoxville. And it's just, I mean, it's destroying people's seasons, and
it could destroy a car as well. If you blow the tire out and you get into the fence and you flip your ass off, then that could happen.
Yeah, I know Cam Martin blew one right rear and one left rear in a span of five laps at Knoxville Saturday night.
Yeah,
I mean, here's Jamie's tire after Knoxville.
That's it right there. Wow, unbelievable. See that one dark spot right there? That one area right there?
It's a shadow.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. On the right side of the tire?
Yeah.
It's a shadow.
No, up there on the tread, you see where it's a little bit darker right there than it is?
Like right here?
Yeah, right there. You think that's a shadow?
That's a shadow from somebody.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. I'd be pretty ticked off if I was having tires coming apart on me like that, especially if I tore up my race car because of it. I don't know. there's a lot to talk about right there. But I just don't know where to go. Brady Bacon picks up the Extreme Outlaw win, the non-wing win, down at Lake Ozark Speedway. You know, I was a little surprised that Robert was struggling a little bit more than you know, the last time we were down there, didn't Robert start at the back of the A?
Yes.
And work his way up to, like, third in the B? I mean, third in the A, yeah. Didn't he? Something like that?
Yeah.
He came all the way from the back. And I thought for sure with Robert starting on the front row, he was going to win that race because Brady was starting like, what, sixth or seventh, right? He was mired back a little bit deeper in the field. And I thought that Robert was just going to check out and beat everybody, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, it too bad Brady wasn't one spot better in his wing feature too. He would have picked up an extra $5,000 bonus for winning both features.
Could have been $16,000 payday if he would have won them both.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it's tough to start on the pole and just walk away with it. I mean, not saying that it's impossible to be done, but
right.
I mean, you're out there blind, and I mean, if you got somebody behind you, what's going on. I mean, that's it. I mean,
if you remember right now, Caleb just reminded me on here. He won the B, but he started dead last in that B, didn't he? And he won that B.
Nah, he started like 12th, which was dead
but it
last.
It was right there at the back of the field, right?
Yeah.
And he ended up winning that race and then started dead last in the A feature and worked his way up to a podium finish, I believe. So I was a little taken back that he didn't have more speed in his car Saturday night. I don't know about anybody else, but that's how I felt about it. All right, well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Brian Brown join us here on the show. Picks up the Outlaw Wind at Knoxville Raceway. I can't wait to talk to him, man. He was so excited to win that race, and maybe even more excited was Danny Lasoski, the dude. He was pretty excited about that win as well. Brian Brown joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery, we do some vinyl, the other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. a large pool for relaxation and families, the Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill, great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We want to welcome you to the show. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show, I couldn't be any more happy for the guy to pick up that win up at Knoxville on Saturday night. Brian Brown, Blackjack, joins us now. How you doing, Brownie?
I'm doing good, man. Anytime you can win and talk to Scott Traylor on Monday, it's you're living life.
Man, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here. How thrilling was that win for you? And because you really beat the drum about you being a Knoxville guy and beating the PA guys and beating the World of Outlaw guys. There was a lot of pride involved with you performing that way because you're a Knoxville guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that, you know, when the Outlaws go to Pennsylvania, they do get beat. When they go to California, they get beat. And, you know, sometimes when they go in the upper Midwest, they get beat. And to me, when they come in our neck of the woods, we have to try to beat them. I mean, you're not going to beat them every time, but we definitely want to be competitive and be in the hunt. And, you know, hopefully it would be me, but as long as the local guys or the local guys in general were up in the hunt and competing and racing with them, that's important. And beating them is even more important. I feel like that was awesome, not just for our team, but for Knoxville in general, all those fans that come, you know, and support. And, you want to try to compete, and most importantly, you want to beat them when you get the opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt. But when you beat a guy like Brad Sweet, do you get a little extra charge out of that? Because, you know, him winning all those championships, and do you take a little more self-satisfaction out of beating somebody like Brad maybe than other people?
No, I mean, to me, they're all hard. They're all capable of winning championships and winning races, and you know, they're the best of the best. So, our mindset going in really all weekend long, Friday, I felt like we could have very easily won Friday, and then even Saturday, our mindset was just we're gonna do our own gig over here, and we're just gonna, you know, it's an outlaw show, but nothing's. We're going to put our pants on just like we do on a weekly show and just going to do the best we can. And, you know, we didn't have good qualifying draws, and we had quick time and second quick time. And, you know, and then when we got ourselves in position, just I try not to worry so much about who I'm racing against, just try to figure out, okay, what are they doing and what do I need to do to you know, it's a chess match.
Yeah.
Essentially at 140 mile an hour that, well, a guy is choosing this lane to do this, and now he's changing his lineup to affect you a little bit. And just I tried Friday night to try to capitalize on what Brent was doing, and you know, and then Saturday with Brad. But you know, ideally, it's you don't really. I think it's maybe I'm getting a little bit older and just not worrying as much about okay who I'm racing against. Just figured out if I get my car, or Danny and my guys get my car good, and I drive good, we can beat anybody in the world. And you know, Don Lamberti, the founder of Casey's and a proud partner of ours, just told me last week, don't you worry about beating them. They got to worry about beating you. And that's kind of our mindset. Just go there and do our job. And if we do our job, we can beat anybody in the world.
Yeah, you know, Brian, one time, you've always taken a lot of pride. We've talked about restarts with you before on this show. And you've always taken a lot of pride in your restarts and how you always talk about how your motors are really crisp and they really got to perform during those restarts. It looked like your motor stumbled one time there on one of those restarts. Can you take me through that for a second?
Yeah, you know, my Charlie Garrett engines are always spot on, and they weren't this weekend. We had an issue with, you know, trying to figure out why our engines weren't taking off like they normally do. Normally I'd put my engines taking off wise against anybody in the country. But for whatever reason, they didn't take off, you know, Saturday or Friday night on the last restart, which made me go into turn one defensive instead of offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, on the double file, it just didn't go. It just stumbled real bad, and I got run into in the back by Carson Macedo, and then really once I got to the flagman, I was running third, but really didn't have a head of steam into one. I just thought maybe my race could be over. Not over, but my chance to win could be over.
Right.
But my car, you know, it stumbled a little bit, but man, when I got that Garrett power wound up, I mean, it was unbelievable. So it all worked out. You know, from Saturday morning until today, talking to you, I bet either me or Danny has talked to Charlie Garrett, our engine builder, probably around 30 times.
Oh, wow.
So trying to figure out, you know, what, why, how, what's going on that's caused that. And my engine builder is 82 years old, but he's the hardest working engine builder in the business. And he'll figure it out, and you know, we don't have those problems, so it's obviously something not right or not happy within the system. But yeah, definitely we pride ourselves on restarts, and it wasn't our best restarts of the weekend, but with a fast enough car and, you know, a good mindset, you can overcome whatever obstacle that gets thrown your way.
I want to step back to Friday night, because I really thought you were going to win that race, but when Mark started coming up the racetrack, you had to make a decision, either run into him, get out of the gas, and that's what you did. You ended up getting out of the gas, and it threw you up in the muck. Talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, I had such a good run off of four, you know, two. I think we were coming to two to go, and I had such a good run, and he had been kind of you know, staying in the middle on one and two, or leaving a car length or so off of turn two. And I'd been noticing that. So, I had such a good run, and he didn't leave enough entry where I could go below him. So I sickled it in there around the top, and I had committed myself at that point where this is my opportunity. If he leaves that top open again, I'm going to get such a good run that I'm going to have to maybe hold my breath a little bit, and it's going to be tight, but I could take advantage of that. That was 130% my plan, and I got to the center of the corner, and that was still my plan. And about three quarters of the way through the corner, I thought to myself, man, this is going to get very, very tight, but I was still willing to take the risk. And then he came up all the way up, and it was like, I'm going to either ride his right rear and turn over, or I've got to lift. And as much as I hated to, I lifted. And when I lifted, the curb was kind of big over there, and it just kind of balled me up a little bit and just let Logan get by. And that was kind of the end of my race. So, but we felt like after the race was over, I felt like, man, I drove good. Our car was good. It just didn't work out. So, that was a lot of confidence going into Saturday, but I feel like we could be sitting here right now and we just won both, right, both nights. So I like where my team is. They're doing a phenomenal job. It's a lot lot to be excited about going forward. But, you know, today's Monday and that was Saturday, so it's a new week. We just got to plug back along here and get refocused and get back at it this week.
So I want to jump into Danny, the dude. Man, he was – I don't know if you watched the videotape of when you got up in the muck and when you had to get out of the gas on the first night and how dejected he was when that happened. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it about a couple of times there. Yeah, I see they posted that. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't drive anymore. So
right.
To me, for him to show the emotion that he shows, that shows what kind of competitor he is. And yeah. Love having some guy that beside me, working with me, that is wants to win as bad or more than I do. And, you know, when we don't win, we want to know why, or we're disappointed. But running third with the Outlaws, we're disappointed, but we're not ungrateful, because that's tough to do in general. So it's different if you run third and, you know, you start on the pole and you just held on to third and you were going backwards, and versus we were going for the win and something like that happened. So, yeah, right. I mean, and he, it's just good to see that, you know, sometimes when guys leave the seat, they leave the fire in the seat too, and they're on cruise control the rest of their life and they just wanted to relax or whatever. And that's, to me, the opposite with him. He's wanting to, he wants to win the Knoxville Nationals again, and just in a different aspect of when he won it as a driver. So, like I said, it's good to have him, and he's a huge asset to me, as well as my, you know, Justin Lawyer and my dad Robert and my grandpa George and Lath and the guys at the shop and all that stuff. It's all a big puzzle, and Danny's a piece of it. I'm a small piece of it. My dad, Justin, Lath, my grandpa. If one piece of the puzzle is missing or got a bent edge, it doesn't make a complete puzzle. And I got a good team right now. And like I said, just everybody's pumped up, and our partners are pumped up. Casey's FEP, Andy's Frozen Custard, Impact Signs, all of our partners are pumped. And but there's times there's going to be weeks when we didn't win, and you still got to be pumped up and keep your team motivated and excited on those opportunities too. So, like I said, it's just June the 13th or 14th, whatever it is, and a lot of time before August.
You know, with Danny having 112 wins at Knoxville, when you want to go to him and talk to him, because, you know, maybe you didn't have this with Chad, right? The relationship that you can talk about in the driving aspect of it, how important is that to you to be able to talk to Danny about performing out on the racetrack as a driver? How critical is that conversation with you and Danny?
Yeah, it's very important. We have very in-depth conversations at the shop. Our driving styles are different. They're not the same as he drives different than I do, and we like different feels. And I think that's been a little bit of a learning curve to try to figure out what exactly I like and how do we make my car the best it can be and with what. But the driving stuff is just, braking points, where to use the throttle. I mean, a lot of things like that are tricks of the trade that he's had for a long time. And maybe he hasn't shared all those with me because he has to race against me or had to race against me for a long time. So he didn't share everything he knew. But as we become partners and teammates here, he's been an open book. And a lot of it's just situational stuff. As a driver, it's all about confidence, and as you race these races and they get deep into the race and the latter half of the races, even the beginning of the races, your decision making can make you or break you and win you outlaw races or lose your outlaw races. So a lot of times I just go through my head and just think of every circumstance that could get thrown my way during an A main and just kind of say, hey, am I thinking right here? Is that what you would be doing? Or even on the stumble of my engine, I ask him today, like, hey, if it's doing that, you got any tricks of the trade that can make it better or worse or better for me to try to get me to get going? And just stuff like that, you know, I've been racing a long time, but I still want to learn every single day and be a student of the game. Because at the end of the day, like, you're not going to win the races you want to in the Knoxville Nationals without being not just the fastest car, but the sharpest car, sharpest driver, as far as making good decisions,
right,
you know, when it counts. Mm-hmm. And like you say, you lead on Saturday, you lead 18 laps, or say it's lap 14 and there's a double file restart. I have to choose what lane I'm going to be in. I need to choose where I'm going to pick up the throttle. There's a lot of things that go on inside that car that I'm going to have to decide. And if I'd had a conversation with Danny pre-race or today or whatever, and we talk about an item, when I go to make that decision, I have more data to think through of, like, okay, Danny said this, so that's probably what, that's what I'm thinking, so let's do it. You know, right. Two heads are better than one. And just fortunate. Chad's a great crew chief, one of the best in the world, but he's never driven, so he can only give me so much data. And he was very good at learning, and, you know, try to learn as much about driving, even though he didn't. He was one to iRace. Anything he could do to help me, and that's why he's one of the best. Yeah. But there's no substitute from strapping your butt in there and feeling what we feel on a nightly basis.
Yeah, no doubt. So you tagged Terry McCarl for third all-time winner up there, 59 wins. What's that mean to you? Does it mean that much to you? Do you want to be the second all-time winningest driver? Because I don't think you're ever going to catch Dude, right?
Yeah, man. Like, when I first started there, it wasn't like I was ever trying to – I just wanted to race there one time. And, you know, got a lot on my mind this week, you know, going, you know, kind of going a little bit off your question. I'll answer that question first. Yeah, it does mean – every single win means – something to me. And when you come off victory, come off turn four, and you see Doug Clark, now you see Justin Clark waving right. that checkered flag, and Saturday especially to see the whole crowd on their feet cheering for their local guy that just beat the Outlaws, that means a lot. And then, you know, you go to victory lane and they start talking about, oh, you're 59 wins and you're one away from tying Doug Wolfgang. Terry McCarl and Doug Wolfgang, those are legends. Those are not right. just everyday guys. Those are legends in our sport. And to have my name beside them is pretty special. But yeah, my longtime car owner, Lonnie Parsons, which gave me my first opportunity in a 410 at Knoxville. First opportunity in a 410 period, but I won my first ever 410 race at Knoxville in his car, had passed away Saturday. So obviously I was thinking about that. A few weeks ago, Tony Ross, the founder of American Quest Steel and the owner of MC Power, he passed away. So two people that were very, very influential in my racing career that took shots on me and took opportunities on me when they probably shouldn't have, that helped me get to where I am today were definitely on my mind. And my grandpa's having open heart surgery on Thursday. So,
yeah,
just a lot of things was weighing on my mind Saturday that I just felt like, man, I just need to lay it all on the table and I need to drive better or harder than I have my whole entire life to just never know in life when's going to be your next day. And I knew my grandpa was watching, and I knew I just wanted to make him proud of me. And I wanted to honor, you know, Tony and Lonnie by trying to get in victory lane, and we were able to do that. So lot on my mind, but there was a task at hand, and we got the opportunity. And you don't get many opportunities to beat those guys, especially on your home turf. And we wanted to do it when we had the opportunity.
Brian, when you had that much on your mind, how do you shake that off and think about the task at hand? How difficult is that for you? Is it simple for you to set that aside? Or when you're out there in the car, do you ever think about those kind of things when you're out there, or are you just thinking about the task at hand?
Yeah, man, it's so weird. You've driven, Scott. I say this all the time. People say, oh, gosh, is it hot in that car? Is it cold in that car or whatever?
Right.
It's like, I'll think about a lot of things in the world until I get in that race car. And when I get in that race car, I don't know what it is, but I couldn't tell you if it's 120 degrees or 6 degrees outside, or I couldn't tell you what's going on in the world. It's so, we have so much going on in there. You've got almost 1,000 horsepower with 1,200 pounds you're trying to control with 23 other guys out there.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you if there was anybody in the grandstands.
Right.
So it's, I'll come off turn four, and I don't know why, but I look right, and I seen the crowd, the whole crowd's on their feet. So I seen that part, but I couldn't tell you if there was one person in the stands up until that point, because I right. knew I had to focus on racing and beating Brad Sweet and racing the track. So it's weird. It's like I don't know. Yeah, I wanted to win for those guys, and I was thinking about my grandpa before I got in the car, and I knew I in my mind I got to win tonight. Period. Yeah. I got to win tonight, and I knew I had that mindset. But when I got in the car, it just you don't really think about that too awful much. There's times that maybe you're running third with or you're running second with on a green white checkered, and you're probably not the fastest car, and you tell yourself, you know, I gotta make it happen here. I gotta want right. this more than this guy, and you will yourself to win sometimes, but there's not too often I think about, man, I hope the Chiefs win tomorrow. I just don't think about stuff like that. No. You know, it's just you're so focused on the task at hand, and if you don't focus on the task at hand, you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna do things that you normally wouldn't do, and that's why I pride myself on going to the gym. When I first started racing, there was a couple times I got wore out the last half of the race, and I was more worried about how I was going to finish a race instead of beat the guy in front of me. So from that point on, I told myself I got to be in better shape than the guy I'm racing, because you know, you cannot, if you get tired, you start thinking about being tired, not how to attack the track or attack him. So just a lot going on, man, that people just don't realize, and you know, you try to block all the other stuff out, and just it's. Two pedals, a steering wheel, you know, four tires, and you know, a couple wings, and it's up to you to. There's no radios, there's no communication. It's you versus 23 others, and a half mile track.
What are you going to do this weekend, Brownie?
Well, my tentative plan is I'm going to go to Jackson, Minnesota on Friday and Saturday, and then Sioux Falls Sunday, and then they have their big $100,000 to win race. Next week, but like I said, my grandpa's having open heart surgery on Thursday, so our schedule's really TBA at this point. My main concern is making sure he's okay.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And we'll decide. There's no race as important as making sure he's okay. So we'll decide, play it by ear. If he's doing well, we might go Friday. If he's doing not so well, we might go Saturday. Or we don't have to be anywhere. That's what's great about having our own team and not really chasing points and. Having great partners, that family is important. It's the most important thing, and we're just going to make sure he's well first before we get back out on the road.
Hey, I want you to pass a message along to your grandpa. You tell him the racing boys are thinking about him, and we hope everything comes out okay. All right, bud?
I will do. Yeah, he's 85 years old. Never been to the doctor. Never took a stitch of medicine. So this
crazy.
Is surgeries are not. As in depth as they once were, there's great doctors, so that's encouraging. But when you're talking to somebody his age, it's all scary surgeries.
No doubt.
Like I said, just scary on my end, just because that in my eyes that guy wears a cape, and to see him a little bit worried about it just worries me too. So, but I know good doctors, and he's very confident. My grandpa is excited about getting done and getting feeling better, and that. To me, I'm going to be there supporting 1,000%.
He's the king of the family, isn't he, bud?
Yeah, he keeps us all together, man. Like, there's not a situation that goes by in my life, whether it's racing or business or anything, that he doesn't have an opinion in, just because he shoots me straight. And there really has no benefit for him to lead me one way or the other. I ask him a question, he gives me his honest opinion, and there's not many people in this world I can do that to. So,
right.
Or he gives me that. Advice that he can. So yeah, he's definitely my man, and definitely don't want anything to happen to him.
Yeah. Brownie, we're so happy for you that you picked up the win. We're looking forward to you going up there and winning some more outlaw races, and we're really looking forward to becoming the second all-time winningest driver up at Knoxville behind Danny the Dude Lasoski. That's going to be great the day that happens. That day when he's number one and you're number two, that's going to be a special day for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool, man. Like, he keeps me informed, though, that it's a long way between 59 and 112.
So right.
a lot of real estate to be made up.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
I mean, like, I mean, how cool is that? I mean, yeah, you never in your life say you want to be second in anything, but you know his record's probably unobtainable.
Yeah.
You'd have to win a lot of races and a lot of years to beat him. But to be second on the all-time list in front of some badass race car drivers is something that I'm very proud of. You know, third on the list right now, and if we could ever get to second, that would be great. You know, like I said, when you pass, you start catching your heroes and then passing your heroes, Sammy Swindell and Steve Kinzer and, you know, and now Terry McCarl and Doug Wolfgang. I mean, those guys are like, those are the who's who of
right.
sprint car racing. And,
yeah,
and
no doubt.
To be able to even have your name mentioned in the same sentence as them is pretty remarkable and something I never dreamed of. It is never a dream to be a champion at Knoxville or to win 59 races. The goal was just, man, if I could ever race there one time, that was my dream. And then once you right. race there and, man, if I could win one there, that's your dream. And you win that one, the next thing you know, it's like, man, I could maybe win a few here. And then you start winning some, and then you get the Knoxville Nationals opportunities. And, you know, I'd throw them all away today. They could have all 59 if I could just have the one in August. And
right.
that's our goal. That's always been my goal. And we're working towards that day by day. And I feel like our car and, you know, our team, it's as best as I've ever felt at Knoxville my whole entire career. And
great.
I think that showed Saturday. So we're looking forward to just keep working on our program and try to be even better when those guys come back to town in August.
Blackjack, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. Good luck to you the rest of the way, and we'll be talking to you down the road, I'm sure, after your next win. I'm sure that's just right around the corner, bud.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for all you do, and like I said, it's always exciting to come on with you guys and talk about, you know, what's going on with the race team, and usually you guys call and talk when something's good happening, so that's good, and look forward to being back on again real soon.
All right. Thank you, Brown.
See you guys. You guys take care.
All right. Bye-bye. There you have it. Blackjack Brian Brown. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Lee Spencer joins us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. a beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities, a large pool for relaxation and families, the Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill, great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Hey, welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, who's running the show for us today. I want to remind everybody about the track tribute of Ascot Park that's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to go through October 2nd. I think originally it was going to go through October 1st, but I think now it's going through October 2nd. You need to get up there and check it out. They've got seven open-wheel race cars that are on display up there. And I don't know if you know the history about Ascot Park in Gardena, California. I used to go out there when I was a kid, when I was about 21 years old. It was a great, great venue, and what a great track tribute to Ascot Park that's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Be a good weekend to go up there. You know, they got the NASCAR the NASCAR Truck Series is going to be up there this weekend, and that's June 18th, Saturday. So you could go up there. You can get you a seat on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. I told you it's one of the best seats in the whole house, right? You got to check it out. You can get a seat up there for $80 if you'd like to. And it's such a great view watching them go down the back straightaway, coming through one and two. It's such a fantastic view. So if you want to go up there and sit on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can do so for $80. And don't forget, they still have the drawing going on for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they're going to have. I'm telling you, folks, this car is worth about $150,000. If you win it, you can sell it and pocket yourself a lot of money. They only made one. This is one of 1,000 limited production Corvettes that they've made. And it is, I'm telling you, folks, it is as nice as they get when it comes to Corvettes. You've got to check it out. And don't forget about the Sprint Car Raffle that they're having up there as well. They got a 2022 XXX chassis. And you can register to win that car as well. I think last year's winner won the car and sold it to somebody and pocketed a lot of money, so you can do the same there. You can also do that online. If you want to register online to win this XXX chassis 410 Sprint Car, you can do so at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. Or you can give them a call up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum for 641-842-6176. Again, that phone number is 641-842-6176. Joining us now on the show is Lee Spencer. Lee, I am so sorry that we got to you late, but me and Brown just got to shooting the bull, and it just ran a little bit long. So I appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Not a problem. I'm just glad Brownie pulled one out after that, you know, kind of sorry loss on Friday.
I know it, man. I felt for him. I felt that both days he had the fastest car. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I you know, it's like we said on Saturday, we thought Logan was coming, but man, he was, Brownie had the car, and, you know, I'd put him up against anybody there. Did he say whether or not he's going to run the Knoxville truck race this weekend?
You know, I've been told that he's not, but I didn't ask him that question because we got to talking about his grandpa, and his grandpa is about the most important person in his life. It's really helped him through his life so much. I know that he's got a heavy his mind's heavy right now thinking about what's going to happen with his grandpa in surgery. He's 85 years old and going in for triple bypass surgery on Thursday. So I know he's thinking about that. So I don't think that he wants to have to think about that truck race because he's going to be thinking about George. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, you know, he was pretty sporty there last year. And you just wonder if just getting more seat time wouldn't help his effort. But, he's fun to watch. It's good times. I know I'm looking forward to going to Knoxville this weekend. So it's, you know, been a year since we've been there. So it's about time to head on back that way to the first state of good old Kirk Elliott.
Right. But I'm going to miss Kirk when he goes up the road. That's not going to be an easy day for me. Hey, listen, Brickhouse picks up their third win of 2022, and it's the fifth non-American driver to win a NASCAR Cup race. Daniel Suarez picks up the win. How big was that for the sport?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, we're having that conversation. I think this is the biggest win for NASCAR in the last 20 years.
Wow.
And I'm writing a column on that as we speak. And I think that, you know, part of the reason is the fact that Daniel Suarez is so engaging. He is so outgoing. He attracts a whole different, element, the Hispanic market to the sport. And I think that that's big. I mean, when you look at NASCAR trying to build the sport, there's two ways to do it. You go out and you try to attract new people to the sport and you take the sport to new markets. Well, mm-hmm. we've seen NASCAR hit out of the park by taking the sport to places like the LA Coliseum, St. Louis last weekend, Road America up in Wisconsin, Austin with Circuit of the Americas. You take the if you can't get people to travel, then you take the product to the people. And the other way that you do it is by having people who are just as, you know, effervescent as Suarez, you know, pretty much telling the gospel of NASCAR. I mean, granted, you know, when you look at somebody like Dale Jr., there hasn't been a better spokesperson for the sport over the last 30 years. But on the other side of that equation, he's probably already saturated the fan base that he's going to bring to the table, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
So you want to look into new markets, and Daniel Suarez can bring new people and new fans to the table.
Yeah. There had to be a good portion of people kind of pulling for Chris Buescher as well, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And he told me 2 weeks ago when we were at Charlotte, you know, I did a long one-on-one with him, and we were talking about that, and he said that they learned something at a Watkins Glen test that he thought was going to be pivotal for his performance when they got to Sonoma. And he called it. And
right.
You guys saw the story I did on McDowell Saturday morning, same thing. You know, McDowell said that the car was a game changer. So you had two people running on, you know, two people on the podium. If we, you know, Saturday when we were going into you know, when we were talking on Racing Voice about, you know, who would be the favorites and what have you, if you and I and Kirk in all the years that we've been covering sports had picked out the podium,
right?
I guarantee you it would have looked nothing like what we actually had on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. And that's this new car. You know, I brought up that stat from last week when we were 100 laps into Gateway. 9 of the top 10 drivers hadn't won this year, but they were capable of getting the job done. On Sunday, with 10 laps to go in that race, and, you know, just until Cindric passed Blaney for fifth place, 5 of the drivers, you know, the top 5 drivers had yet to win in 2022.
Yeah.
I mean, that bodes well for, you know, breaking that record with 16 different winners going into the playoffs. And
yeah,
I still say that is a distinct possibility with 10 races to go to decide the regular season.
Yeah. Do you feel when Chase Elliott pitted out of the box that was the end of it for him? Did you feel that he had a chance to win the race? And the same goes for Kyle Larson. I think their strategy of trying to win that segment, they put more emphasis on that than trying to win the race. What's your feelings about both of those drivers?
Well, I think Larson's strategy was very similar to last year's, right? And so
yeah,
I don't think that was too far afield. On the other side of that, when I look at what he's going to have to go through the next 4 races without his crew chief, without his jackman, without his...
Yeah.
His tire changer, you know, to me, that might even be the bigger story. I mean, I heard some of the talking heads saying that, you know, there's not a flaw in the tire, or there's not a flaw in the wheel. I just beg to differ with them. You know, even
me
though
too.
Maybe out of all the races that we've had and all the tire changes that have been made over the course of this year with the new hub and what have you, you know, there's been a dozen guys that have had failures, or the tires have come off, or the lug wasn't tied. You know, Reddick, I mean, Reddick's hub was, you know, just, it was faulty over the weekend. And yeah, if you don't get the wheel on, you know, completely flush to the mount, then it's going to rattle it, and it's, you know, you're going to have issues with your hub. But on the other side of that, I just, you know, I think that's just, I don't want to say it's too much pressure on these guys, but we shouldn't be having conversations about wheels. And I do think that, you know, it's one thing when you missed a lug nut and you got a $10,000 fine, but now, you know, when the wheels go off and you're losing your crew chief for 4 weeks and your jackman,
right,
and your tire guy, I mean, that can be devastating to an organization.
Do you think NASCAR is going to have to take a look at it at the end of the year and do a redesign on this wheel?
I don't know, but I mean, I'm not crazy about it. I'm not, you know, you would have to slow down these pit stops significantly just to make sure it's married up. And like I said, there have just been, when you look at the big picture, yeah, it's been limited, the number of tires that have fallen off these cars. But before this year and before we introduced the next gen car, do you remember, you know, tire or wheels rolling off of cars?
Never.
The same level that they do now? I mean, I don't.
No, I don't remember. I can't even remember a wheel coming off of a car when they had the 5-on-5 bolt pattern where they just had 5 lug nuts on there. I can't. I'm sure it's happened. But I
mean, you know, you might see it with some of the sketchier teams, but certainly
right,
not a team the caliber of Larson's or Denny Hamlin's. I mean, you know, colleague, your old buddy, who's over on, you know, crew chiefing the, what is it, the
Trent Owens?
No, it's not the 16. It's the other one. Trent Owens, I mean, he's been out of work for 8 weeks this year already.
I know it. I know it. And
you know, what, I mean, that's a heavy price to pay, I think.
I think the penalty's too severe, if you want to know the truth.
I do, too.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, if you don't have it that severe, then how many wheels are going to go rolling off these cars? it's just kind of nuts. And you saw him call, you know, you were talking about Chase, and now they told him roll back in, and he wasn't in all the way. But damn, if you don't get that tire safe and, you know, the wheel safe and secure on the hub, then you're going to lose your crew chief. And that's a bigger price to pay than doing service outside your pit stall.
I think a 2-race penalty is enough. I think it's too extreme with 4 races. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's nuts, and I think it's nuts to lose your jackman and your tire changer, because think right. about it. It's bad enough that you lose your jackman and your tire changer, but those guys are the ones that have been practicing with this new wheel and hub, so you bring in a guy who's not as experienced working on it, and then what are you going to go through? I mean, you know.
Right, right.
So the penalty's severe. I mean, no doubt the penalty's severe, and I think that the teams will get better at it. But, you know, I do think it's just over the top. And, you know, this is what they wanted, and this is what they got. And it's been, you know, quite the challenge. I mean, I did a story about Goodyear and just, you know, the challenges that they've had to go through. And, you know, they're working on these tires. They're going to work on the sidewalls. They've got that big test coming up at Martinsville. And they're going to try to, you know, improve the tires so we don't see the failures that we've seen this year. But, you know, you're asking a lot out of Goodyear, especially when the next-gen car was a work in progress mm-hmm. for 3 years.
Yeah.
And all the changes that were made, and you're asking Goodyear, you know, to step up at lightning speed to keep up with the changes NASCAR's making to the cars. So,
right.
You know, I feel everybody has been kind of pushed to the limit, and you know, you almost have to commend Goodyear for what they've done. And when you do see these failures, and the teams are taking it to the extreme when it comes to air pressures and camber, you can't just sit there and keep beating up Goodyear over it.
Right. The Cup Series is going to a track that's near and dear to my heart, Nashville Super Speedway this weekend. What do you anticipate there? This track was closed down for several years. They brought it back to life. What's your feelings about going into Nashville this weekend?
Well, we're going to Nashville next weekend. It's
the 26th. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
We're going to Knoxville with the trucks, and then we the following week the Cup Series will be back in action
right.
at Nashville. I really think that Nashville, the way that town has just supported NASCAR, and it really helps to have a big company like Ally based there, because Ally pulls out all the stops. You know, they've done a lot to support motorsports, whether it's NASCAR, IndyCar, you know, they're there for it. And I give them a lot of credit for, you know, kind of going up and over and above. But, you know, you have a new market. I think Nashville, whether we're at the Super Speedway or we finally at some point return to the fairgrounds, and you know it's going to happen, it's
yeah.
got to happen at some point, then you're really, the town just turns out. And, you know, we were having that conversation earlier about, you know, getting into these urban markets, and Nashville's another one. It's, mm-hmm. You know, if you're racing at the fairgrounds, that's 10 minutes top from where most of the big affiliates in town are located. You know, and so it's not asking them to do much to pop on over the racetrack and shoot some footage or do a live shot for their afternoon talk shows or their morning talk shows or, you know, get something on the 5, 6, you know, 10 o'clock news in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to talk about, and Lee, we'll talk to you more on Saturday. We appreciate you taking the time. I'm sorry that we were a little bit late getting to you today, but...
not a problem. I just wanted to see whether or not y'all still needed me.
No, we still need you, for sure. All right, Lee, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Have a great week, Scott.
All right, you too, Lee. All right, that's Lee Spencer. You know, that's pretty interesting stuff. I'm just sitting here thinking about old George going into surgery on Thursday. I just want people to know that we're really thinking about George, and hopefully everything comes out good for him. 85 years old, that's a tough assignment when you're that age and you're going in for triple bypass surgery. So We're thinking about you, George. Hopefully everything goes good for you as well. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Our guests, Brian Brown and Lee Spencer, for joining us here on the show. We'll be doing it all over again tomorrow. I'm not sure who our guest is going to be tomorrow, but tune in. I'm sure it's going to be good. You can hang out with us. We'll do it for another hour or so tomorrow as well, 12 noon Central Time. It's Mostly Motorsports, and it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.